congregation, what is an acceptable year for you? Is that when your business, if you have a business, is when your business flourishes, you make your sales targets, your profit margins? Is it a favorable year of the Lord that when you get a pastor this year, is that the acceptable year for you? Or is it when your health is keeping up, or whatever you wished for this new year, you planned for maybe a long time, is happening? What is now a favorable, what is now an acceptable year for you? On this question, I want to reflect with you from a biblical perspective. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you on the words of Christ, this preaching of Christ, this first sermon of Christ, as we find it in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we ask the question, is this year 2024, the acceptable year of the Lord for you? For you. Three main thoughts. What it is, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? Why we need it? And what is received? So the acceptable year of the Lord, what it is, why we need it, and what is received. Congregation, in our text chapter, we know that Christ, having been baptized, that is chapter 3, is full of the Holy Spirit, was in the desert for 40 days, verses 1 to 13, tempted by the devil, resisted the devil with his own word, God's very own word. We know then that like the people of Israel of old in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years, and entered into the land of Canaan, so Christ, after being 40 days in the wilderness, enters the land of Israel, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee and taught in their synagogues. Dus our text words in verse 19 concern the preaching of Christ in the synagogue of Nazareth. That is the beginning of Christ's ministry. And that beginning of his ministry begins with preaching, the reading of scripture. And our text words, as we see later, words from Isaiah 61. With the proclamation, the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the first context of these words, of the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you take notes, I will do three context of these words. So Christ coming from the desert inaugurates his ministry in his hometown Nazareth with preaching, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. And so we have read together, and there was delivered unto them him a book from the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me also tonight to heal brokenhearted, to preach deliverance of the captive, recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the beginning of gospel ministry, Christ's ministry. To hear and to preach the gospel with power of the Spirit. And how do we need the Spirit of the Lord? In our personal life, in our family life, maybe the questions, the riddles, the puzzles we have, spiritual questions, maybe seemingly unanswered prayers or promises of the Lord. In the life of the congregation, how do we need the leading of the Spirit? We prayed for it also tonight. Discerning direction, calling of a pastor, to pastor, to shepherd the congregation, to preach. This great and undeserved privilege of a gospel message that there is healing for brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, blind eyes are opened, set at liberty those that are bruised. That is the favorable, acceptable year of the Lord. A word of healing, deliverance, finding favor with God. And congregation, pray every time you come to church that the preaching of the word from this pulpit, preaching as we find it in the original here, is a charisma, a heralding, a proclaiming, an announcing. To hear each Sunday the gospel proclamation of the favor of the Lord. A gospel preaching that the time has come that the Lord will deliver, will heal. Also among us, that what is broken, maybe those with broken hearts, that the Lord will open your eyes for the reality of life, your life, but also the reality of Christ. A spirit-filled sermon. Friends, we cannot do it with less. That for bruised, blind, burdened, and broken-hearted ones, there is good news. The gospel of Christ. A gospel preaching that resonates with Christ's preaching. A preaching to the poor. A word, a gospel word. Available to all, no one excluded. Maybe for one in our midst that have to say, but I am poor and needy. And then to hear the gospel, eh? Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That there is deliverance for those that are in bondage. Whatever bondage that is in your life. Sin, pornography, digital addiction. For one maybe in our midst, the cry of the heart, deliver me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no daring, O my God. That gospel that opens your eyes when you are blind, you don't know the way anymore. Where everything seems to be dead ended. And then to hear that it is the Lord who opens the eyes of the blind. It is the only message of freedom and liberty for the oppressed, broken down people, people with burdens in their life. Maybe for such one, also in our midst this night, there is a word of the Lord. That it is the Lord who raised them that are bowed down. Congregation preaching, that is a preaching that addresses the issues of the daily life, your and my life, but also that is a preaching that directs to Christ. Christ preaching his sermon here in Nazareth and here in Grand Rapids at Ball Avenue is proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. That is a preaching of healing of brokenhearted, a preaching of deliverance to the captives, of recovering the sight of the blind, a preaching that set at liberty those that are bruised and have burdens in your life. Of which Christ says, as we have read in verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day. That is something. Huh? This day. This night. Is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? What is then fulfilled? That brings us to the second context of these words, of what these words, the acceptable year of the Lord, means. Because Christ here in Nazareth reached the book of Isaiah chapter 61, as we have read it together as well. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the same words in Isaiah 61. The acceptable year of the Lord and a day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, also tonight, that he might be glorified. That was the preaching of the prophet Isaiah to the people in Babylonian captivity, 700 years before Christ. A preaching of hope, salvation, return to the land of Judah. A gospel message of liberty, freedom, and set free for the people in bondage and captivity. Isaiah preached that gospel message to the captives in Babylon to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and a day of vengeance of our God. For those who were content in Babylon, they did not see a need to return to Judah and Jerusalem. No need of the temple, no need of the ministry of reconciliation, no need of the offerings and that pointed to the Messiah, to Christ, no need of Christ. It will be a day, says Isaiah, not a year, a day of vengeance of the Lord, a day of judgment and revenge. That is for those who do not attend to the gospel message, reject and neglect this gracious offer of mercy and salvation. They shall not only be left in their captivity as they deserved, but the Lord shall deal them as his enemies. And so it will be with you when you remain in rejecting this gospel message of Christ and him alone, even today. But the prophet also proclaimed the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord. Good tidings to the meek, the humble ones, the afflicted ones. They will be lifted up. Those that are cast down, the Lord will raise them up. The broken of heart, of whatever reason, because of their sin, or because they cannot be without the temple. You cannot miss that ministry of reconciliation. Brokenhearted, those with burdens in life, maybe because of relationships, maybe of the hurt and pain that you carry in your life, marriage strains, scattered lives. Isaiah preached, and we hear it tonight, he has sent me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you hear? That he might be glorified. And when was that now fulfilled, that prophecy of Isaiah? The people of Judah experienced that favorable, acceptable year of the Lord when Cyrus, king of Babylon, in his first year, that was 150 years later, after the word of the Lord through Isaiah. As we read in 2 Chronicles 36, now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stood up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put also in his writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. The same verse that you read in Ezra 1. as the exiled ones begin to return to Judah and Jerusalem, being delivered from captivity to be set free in this first year of King Cyrus. The word of the Lord through Isaiah was fulfilled. It was a favorable year of the Lord for those who were brought home, delivered, redeemed from exile and captivity because of their sin. Proclaim liberty, joy and jubilation. This favorable year, a year of jubilee. And that brings us by the third context of this word. What these words mean, the year of the Lord's favor, of the acceptable year of the Lord. Because these words of Isaiah here in 61 echo the word of the Lord as Moses instructed the people of Israel on the plains of Moab, before entering the land of Canaan, concerning the year of Jubilee. In the midst of all the instructions that the Lord gives his people in Leviticus 25, rules and regulations, laws for his people when they enter the promised land. In the midst of all of that, the Lord gives his people the year of Sabbath, Leviticus 25 verse 4, but in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Shabbat for the Lord, for it is the year of rest into the land and the year of Jubilee. And then we read to proclaim liberty. Because we read, then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, in the day of atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall hollow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee to you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man into his family. The year of Jubilee begins with the day of the atonement, the Yom Kippur. The day of the atonement, as he finds it in Leviticus, this shall be in statute forever, that the atonement may be made for the people Israel once a year because of all their sins. The one day of the year when the high priest could enter the most holy places and the most holy of holies. The day of the atonement, the day of reconciliations, once each year, a solemn day of judgment took place in Israel, and all were confessed every sin. And to bring in memory, one goat was slain and offered for the sins of the people. And the blood was taken of the most holy place and sprinkled upon before the mercy seat of the Lord. And on that special judgment day did the high priest enter the most holy place to meet God at the mercy seat. And the sprinkled blood was accepted by God, acceptable to him, and confessed their sins of the people, were transferred from the sanctuary to the goat, to the high priest, and he transferred those confessed sins to the goat, the scapegoat, which was led into the wilderness to perish. And in that manner, the sanctuary was cleansed of the sins of the people, which had been transferred there by the blood sprinkled at the veil. And here atonement was accomplished, reconciliation, forgiveness of sins. The sins of the people were taken away, made to be acceptable to God. And according to Leviticus 25, the year of Jubilee, that acceptable year begins with the day of the atonement. The year of Jubilee, a year of liberty and return, a year of the Lord's favor upon his people. And congregation, I have read something very remarkable in a rabbinic commentary on the book of Leviticus, on the words and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. The rabbis say the word proclaim liberty or release can only be understood only when a king ascends to the throne and begins his rule. That is the year of Jubilee. As we see in 61, When the Isaiah 61, when the Judeans exiled in Babylonian captivity were freed under the terms of the king, beginning with the term the Day of the Atonement. Thus the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee that begins with the Day of the Atonement, when the king ascends to the throne and begins his rule. And God had decreed in every 50th year, the year of Jubilee would be a time of forgiveness of death, deliverance of those that who were in slavery as a result of their death. And congregation, now as it were, we sit in the synagogue at Nazareth and we hear Christ, hearing these same living words of the living God. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Congregation, do you begin to see the patience and urgency of the gospel? The patience, the long-suffering of the Lord, the same words of salvation, of atonement that were preached, of that acceptable year of the Lord in the time of Moses, in the times of Isaiah, in the time of Christ, and here tonight at Ball Avenue. And the urgency this day, because we don't know that there isn't tomorrow. This day, as King Jesus Christ has ministry, has his ministry among us. And it is proclaimed the Lord's favor towards unsinful people. Liberty and setting free of captives. A return of exile, a gathering of those who are scattered. And a lifting up of those that are bowed down by the burdens and brokenness in your life. Because only and only of that only sacrifice once and for all, that atonement, that reconciliation, atoning sacrifice Christ himself, that he might be glorified and binds up brokenhearted, provides comfort for all that mourn and give garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness. That, friends, is the acceptable year of the Lord. For when people in the synagogue in Nazareth, they heard it from Christ's own lips that day, 2,000 years ago. For the captives and exiled ones, his covenant people in Babylon, they heard it through the word of the Lord by Isaiah, 2,800 years ago. For the people entering the land of Canaan, through the word of the Lord by Moses, 3,400 years ago. But also today, in 2024, tonight, here in Grand Rapids at Ball Avenue, through his word this evening, congregation, do you begin to see the Lord's unwavering faithfulness and undeserved mercy by proclaiming that same gospel year after year after year till this very night? And this is your hope for you, for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, your only hope. That grace and mercy is extended because of this gospel once preached in Nazareth, proclaimed in Jerusalem for exiles, heard on the plains of Moab, but also this evening, the acceptable year of the Lord. And that gospel, friends, is what we need, what you and I desperately need. Our second thought, why we need the acceptable and favorable year of the Lord. Because the Lord gives us a portrait who we are, shows us who we are. Through Christ preaching, through Isaiah, what sin has brought into the world, and we experience the consequences of sin. Verse 18 in our text, chapter poor. It's part of our portrait. Those poor in this world during the time of Christ, the poor were not attended to be taught by the scriptures, the neglected in this world, the material poor, impoverished. But also the poor in spirit because of their sin. Poor in spirit, young people, that means coming to a point, not once, but time and again. An honest confession of your sins. That you acknowledge your desperate need for Christ. That is repentance, true and true. And if that is you tonight, Christ's word is for you. The gospel is preached to the poor. But more of our portrait, broken-hearted, those with a broken heart. In the original is broken in pieces, meaning filled with sadness, overwhelmed by grief, cast down. Such ones, like the psalmist in 42, one that thirst for God, for the living God, but have to experience my tears have been my meat day and night. And goes over this world with doubts. Where is your God? To experience that spiritual desertion, abandonment. God is hidden from you and you thirst for him. For one that has to say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Or with the words of the psalmist of 69 that has to say, reproach or insult has broken my heart and I am full of heaviness and it left me helpless. I looked for sympathy and there was none. I looked for comforters but I found none. Spiritually, mentally, the high levels of anxiety among our young people. Also for you is the gospel. But more captives, those that are in prison in the context of the time of Christ, demon-possessed, imprisoned ones, or those literally in prison. The original word means something like the ones that have been taken, detained, like the exiled ones in Judah, the Babylonian captivity, enslaved. Or as the Apostle John speaks of, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. You are imprisoned by your sin, not free, not at liberty. And the Lord knows your captivity of addiction in whatever the form that might be. And I don't have to elaborate on that. You know what that sin is in which you are trapped in. And God knows it as well. The apostle said that the snare of the devil, I am being held captive by him to do his will, in bondage of iniquity. What picture of sin is more given here? Who we really are by nature, blind, physical or mentally, time of the Lord Jesus, was a Bartimaeus and others blind, no eyesight. Or those times in your life that you have to say with the psalmist in 25 and the disciples had to say it as well. Show me thy way, O Lord, because you don't know the way. And last not but least, our text word speaks of those that are bruised. That is similar, but stronger than broken-hearted. Crushed ones, deeply hurt ones. Your life is like a bruised reed and smoking flax. And that can be also spiritually. And that you ask yourself at times, what has it all been? When was there more zeal in the past? Maybe a more close life to the Lord. When sin was sin. Do you understand me? You feel many infirmities and miseries in yourself. You begin to realize you have not that perfect faith. You do not give yourself to serve God with that zeal that you are bound. And you daily strive with the weakness of your faith and the evil lust of your flesh. Do you still follow me? But also when there are in our midst, they have been bruised in life, having hurt and pain, maybe even for years. Congregation, this is the realistic picture the Lord gives in his word. Who we truly are in ourselves. Despite how we can keep ourselves looking better, but deep down. And young people, that is the honesty of God's word. What the religion or tradition never will give you. A realistic biblical picture who we are by nature. We are poor, blind, broken and bruised. Spiritually. And at times physically and mentally as well. And for such ones. And for such ones. For you and me, Christ came when the king began to ascend to his throne through his atoning work, the beginning of the year of Jubilee, began his ministry in Galilee and continues his ministry even tonight through his word among us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, that in Christ and in him alone is fulfilled and will be fulfilled what sinners, broken, blind and bruised and poor people will receive, Christ and himself. And that brings us to our last point, what is then received through the work of God's Spirit in the hearts and the lives of the exiled ones, those in captivity. Or may I say, in your hearts, when you have received and placed at the Lord's table. And parents, in the hearts of your children, grandparents, in the hearts of your grandchildren. Because Christ came and began his gospel ministry, of whom was foretold that it was he, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, broken-hearted. That it was he, wounded for our transgressions, and he was afflicted. He was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Christ, he came and began his ministry with a gospel preaching for the people that are blind in themselves. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We are blind for those he came. Because of his atoning work on the cross, the year of Jubilee, the year of the favor of the Lord, the acceptable year, is preached and proclaimed even now. Of his, the apostle writes, he is an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are past. Friends, the atoning work of Christ on the cross, the ultimate day of atonement, of his all the days of atonement pointed to, of all the sacrifices pointed to. As the apostle in Hebrews reminds us, that Christ's shedding of his blood and sacrifice is better than all the sacrifices before him. As we read, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And congregation, note two important things. First, Christ said to the Father, I have come. And that is the wonder of undeserved grace and mercy. He comes, breaks through in your life, the life of sinners, enters your life, maybe unexpected, maybe undeserved, maybe irresistible, but the life of each of his children. Where we have closed a way to God and Adam, behold, says Christ, I will come to do thy will, O God. What is then your hope? Is it not in Christ alone, or do you still have expectations of yourself? To whom shall you go with all your hopes and expectations for 2024? For your business, for your sales, for your health, receiving a pastor, but also with the burdens of life, the burdens of sins and shortcomings, with that blindness, the situation that you are in, with the brokenness of heart, that hurt and pain in your life. Here then, there is this good news, this gospel news. Christ says, I have come. That is your only hope, and your only hope, he comes also this evening, and he shows himself, here I am, I have come. And secondly, in this text verse of Hebrews 10, to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, once for all. Friends, Christ's work is a finished and complete work. Nothing can be, nothing has to be added from your or my side. But can you rest in that? In that blood of Christ, that blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses you from all sin. O friends, see then anew the riches in Christ, who comes this evening and offers freely, graciously, generously, remission of sin, forgiveness, redemption, deliverance, reconciliation, healing and forgiveness. And He proclaims also this evening, in the favorable time I have listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That is the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, that we may experience these blessings by His great mercies, that the poor will hear the gospel and is preached to them. And for those that have to say with the psalmist, I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. But they will experience for Christ's sake, yet the Lord thinks on me, Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. Oh, to experience that acceptable year of the Lord for an afflicted and poor people. But they, for Christ's sake, shall trust in the name of the Lord. And those that are in captive and in prison, in bondage, in addiction of bondage of internet or social media or pornography or the bondage of sin, they will be set free for Christ's sake. Congregation, the prophet could proclaim and preach liberty. But only Christ sets free and at liberty. That it is Christ sent by the Father, and He willingly and He readily did heal the brokenhearted and lifted the burdened ones, so that you may experience with the psalmist of old, and He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Oh, that you experience for Christ's sake, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken of heart, only and because He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And then the blind, they will see and experience, and I will bring the blind by the way that they do not know. And I lead them in path that they have not known. And I will make the darkness light for them and the crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them, and I will not forsake them. Oh, then mourning will be transformed into joy, and ashes for beauty, and a spirit of heaviness, a garment of praise. And this and only and because for Christ's sake is the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh, blessed is the people, and truly happy are you when you know this joyful sound, the joyful, gracious gospel message of the acceptable year of the Lord. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance, to rest in that complete and finished work of Christ, to be lifted up for a moment above all the circumstances of life and see none else than Jesus alone. Oh, friends, that security, that rest lies outside of yourself. That is your hope. Let me illustrate it with an example of scripture. Imagine must have been then, that first Passover evening for all the firstborn of Israel, when the Lord has promised, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there were maybe those who tossed and turned in their beds and wondering if they would make it through the night alive. But there were also those who slept soundly and peacefully resting upon God's word of promise. The one was sure, and the one was not, but they equally were safe. Non pers, where the blood of the Lamb was applied. Congregation, the basis of their security, lied outside themselves. It was not they saw the blood, but that God saw the blood and was satisfied. Salvation is of the Lord. The Westminster Confession states this subjective experience of that unchangeable, infallible, eternal, objective basis of assurance is enjoyed by his people through the right use of the ordinary means of grace, preaching, without an extraordinary revelation. To have that resting place in your life, this objective and subjective experience. As one hymn writer wrote, enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and he died for me. Congregation, what will it be? What the apostle writes in Hebrews 10, for those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God, those who have profaned the blood of the covenant, who have outraged the spirit of grace. If that is you, remember, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. To whom shall you go for all your needs? That this year 2024, is the favorable, acceptable year of the Lord for you. For the first time, refreshed and renewed by that same gospel, here is your substitute, your Savior Christ, a Savior for the poor, the Savior for brokenhearted, the Savior for captives, the Savior for the blind, the Savior for burdened ones. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Friends, if we close this evening, that your and my eyes, our eyes of all here in church, are fixed on him. Fixed on Christ for the week ahead of us. Fixed on him alone. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of your faith. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.